It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in on Jethro FM and all over the state of Michigan. Making your Saturday morning just a little bit smokier in your backyard. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, welcome. Thanks, Jop. And welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. 13 and a half years running. Being produced today by the chief executive of Jethro FM, we have Mr. Pasteur.
He's out of the closet. For the last several years, she couldn't tell anybody.
I thought we were in the closet here. Isn't
right, it is. Yeah, but no. Scott retired from his paying job, and now he's working with us lowlifes.
Now he's a volunteer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, having a little bit of fun. But anyway, it's good to have him.
You know, that brings up an interesting thing. we can just talk about it here for a second. You keep adding stations. Your latest one's in Kalamazoo, right? How's that going?
Well, he doesn't have a microphone, Bob,
so it's really
hard for him to talk to us right now. But we'll talk about that another day.
We broke the mic.
Yeah, it's running well though, and we get feedback from that area as well on our social media, so it's awesome.
Yeah,
people are listening in Kalamazoo. Welcome to you guys. But Bob, did you cook anything fun this week?
It was a really boring grill week for me. I did like chicken breasts. I did a couple steaks. Really busy right now, you know, with the nice outdoor weather.
Yeah.
It's kind of like trying to get ahead of the game so that when the nice weather is actually here, I'm not as buried as I seem to be every spring. You know, you and I both have pools. We have all that stuff outside to do, and it comes down to Dad.
Oh, it does, every time, because my wife and my son both this past week said, "Hey, Jop, when are you opening up the bar?" And I'm like, "It's March, dude. It's mid-March." He's like, "Yeah, but it's been so nice. You got to open up the patio bar." And, you know, when you, it isn't just like,
tell him to go to the beer store and get some beer,
exactly,
and then it's open.
Exactly, because it becomes work. It's a day or so to unload it because everything you had in there, you packed away. Now you got to put it back. But the other thing is then now it could freeze again. We're mid-March, dude. And all my stuff with water and all that other stuff, it's too early. It's too early. So I said what you said.
Right? Yeah, I'm already using all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you have frost-free spigots, you're okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things I think a lot of us have gone through is I went nuts on. It's solar patio lighting.
Oh, we have it a little bit of it. My wife uses it in the gardens. And by the way, all the spring flowers along the edge of our garage, we got like a 2-foot bed. Everything's up. Some of it's even blooming. Crazy for the middle of March. But you know what? Hey, it's the weather.
Tulip Festival will be in April this year. Well, anyway, I don't honestly know how many of these things I have, but it's too many. Because on my back deck is like, I forget.
It's like a football field.
45 to 70 feet long.
Yeah, it's like a football field as far as decks go.
And every post has a lighted cap on it.
Yeah.
Well, who idea was that?
Right.
Because half of them after 4 or 5 years don't work.
Right.
So I'm taking them apart and changing solar batteries or whatever, you know, the rechargeable batteries and stuff. And that's a process in itself and testing each one and replacing them.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, when they're all working.
Oh, it's cool.
At night. It is just charming.
You're a better man than I because I'd scrap and buy new. I can't take little lights apart. My fingers are too fat, man. I can't deal with all of that.
No comment.
Yeah.
Anyway,
exactly.
I have more. I'm moving to low voltage on all the rest of the stuff. I got a set of low voltage to put in. I swear I'm going to do this spring.
Yeah. Had it for 3 years.
No, I've had it
right there on the shelf.
Had it for a year. You know, closeouts at Home Depot.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, there's a great deal. I'll do that next spring. And then you forget you have them, right? Yeah, so there's
no shortage of projects at my place.
Ever, man. Yeah, and as soon as you say pool, it's just a hole in the ground to throw money in.
The good news is the log building is rolling right along nicely.
Well, you know what, though? I'm surprised that that's the case because I haven't seen you come in limping or with stitches.
Well, I'm not
or
doing
anything
the roof
in a while.
Yet. I'm not doing the roof yet. No, the hard stuff on the rafters is all done.
Okay.
I shouldn't be falling.
Well, let's hope not. I mean, as we approach the elderly season Senility. Of our life, you don't bounce like you used to either, man.
Well, if you're fat enough, you actually do bounce.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, we got that going for us, right?
Anyway, it's really nice to get finally those logs up and building walls with them because they've been stashed for 3 and 4 years, bringing them back from deer camp every year. I had a mountain of them, and I'm still digging through the pile, and yeah. It seems like the pile's just as big as it was when
Well,
I
and
started.
You're playing pioneer with the things because you're hand hewing them and stacking them
well,
up there and all that other stuff.
It's just a waste to let them just rot in the woods.
Well, I understand, but it's a lot of work what you're doing.
But it's
going to look cool when it's done.
I'm fat. I need to work out. Yeah.
If you're not in a hurry for a woodshed, you build one like Bob. Because it's been a couple years that you've been working on this thing, but it's coming together.
Yeah,
and there's wood in it.
The first section I built like 15, 20 years ago.
Well, I understand.
And that was enough to store the wood. And then it's like, oh, I could also store this under. Oh, not enough room. Add another 10-foot section
right,
onto it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so that's the progression of, silly projects like that really don't have great value to them, but you need them.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing I want to invest a bunch of money in, so it's usually just some sheet metal, some steel for the roofing and things like that. I mean, the original roof on the first section was a commercial garage door that I broke.
Yeah, right. Put the sections together and hope they don't leak, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
So, change the subject a little bit, but... Is your phone ringing? Mine's ringing off the hook right now for catering for graduations, summer weddings, those type of things. I think I booked 4 in the last week
throughout
the summer.
That's great.
And I appreciate that for all the listeners that reach out and have us cater their small events and not so small events. One of them is my friends at the Home Builders Association.
Oh.
They do a clay shoot in the fall, and I just was... they reached out to me this week, and we booked that, and that's 200 people that are down at the Caledonia Sportsman's Club in October.
Well,
so
that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. It always a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun too. So
yeah, that has been going on for some time with me. This last couple of weeks, not so much, but I'm sure it'll pick up.
Yeah,
it's about at the pace that I can handle it.
Yep, exactly.
Because I still have to have a life.
Right.
I'm not going to just do nothing but. Serve everybody else.
Well, you know, it's fun to do it, though. I mean, that's what we do. But speaking of that, we got a guest in the studio with us that we're going to talk to later in the show. But why don't we introduce Matt?
Yeah, this is Matt Ziemer from Hooger Hide Safe in Grand Rapids, Michigan. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, it was so nice to see you at the home show because it seems like the last few shows I've worked, I'm always positioned by you or something, and I think it's just because you have such a cool line of product, and we're going to talk about that in the upcoming segment. But I guess how is the safe world? How's that business in this strange climate we're in?
Business has been very good for the last few years. Anytime there's stuff in the news, unfortunately, crime. That sort of stuff, it kind of gets people's attention back toward securing their valuables, particularly firearms and gun safes, particularly, you know, good, heavy American-made gun safes are a core part of our business. So that part of the business has been going really well.
Yeah, I'm so glad you came in because there are so many, I mean, I don't know many people anymore that don't have a gun safe, but I can tell you that a lot of people buy the wrong safe. And they don't know it until their house burns down.
Yeah, and in the next segment, we're going to talk about when somebody walks into your store, what are the 4 or 5 questions they need to be able to answer to make sure that you direct them to the right safe. But, you know, it occurs to me, Bob, this what Matt was mentioning is this whole Oxford thing. It was a tragedy that young man went in and shot a bunch of people at a school, but his parents now are on trial. And it's because they didn't store their guns properly. They were accessible to a young man who was having some challenges. And I'm not going to cast aspersions on whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent. But the real thing is he was able to get a gun out of his parents' house that wasn't secured in a safe. And one of these could have, hopefully prevented all that. But anyway, coming up next, we are going to continue our conversation with Matt from Hooger Hide Safe. And you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in, and we'll be back.
Hey, this is Joe from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy Saturday. We appreciate you tuning in. Hope you're feeling a little grilly this time of year because we've had some warm weather cooling off this weekend a little bit and into early next week, as I understand it. But all that does is slow you down. It never stops you, right, Bob?
Yeah, and it's funny. Kids seem to like not want to wear coats. I mean, I don't believe I was ever quite that way, but could have been. But now it's gotten ridiculous. It was really cold the other day, and this girl was walking across the parking lot at the mall. She couldn't have been more than 19. And she had on this, I think you would call it a tube top, but she stretched it into a dress. And the wind, I'm cold with my coat on. Man. And she's, you could just see it. It's just... What is going through people's minds when they do
it's,
that?
It's not about how you feel. It's how you look, right?
She looked like she was hypothermic.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have Matt Ziemer in here from Hooger Hide Safe. And I guess when I talked to him at the home show a couple weeks ago, I couldn't help but think about my buddy Dale when his house burned. He had two gun safes.
Mm-hmm.
And he learned then that buying the low-end gun safe didn't protect him because, number one, the smoke destroyed the guns. Number two, the insurance company didn't want to cover it because they weren't properly tagged and riders and whatever. And I think people get a little confused about that. And I want to talk to Matt about, number one, how you know that you're getting a safe that has the type of gasketing that welds itself shut when you have a tragedy like that. That's just one of the topics. But I remember watching him go through this, and he lost, I'm thinking, like 40, 50 guns.
Yeah, well, it happens. So that's probably a good place to start, Matt. When I walk into Hooger Hide Safe, you're going to ask me some questions, I'm assuming, about what I'm looking for in a safe. What do I need to be able to answer for you and your team?
Yeah, a couple of the first things we want to talk about is, first of all, trying to figure out the appropriate size. One of the things, a lot of these safes out there, they say, they advertise it as a 24 gun safe, 32 gun safe, etc. When you actually start loading firearms into the safe, you're going to find out that 32 gun safe holds 15, 20, if you're lucky. So yeah. you want to shoot for something a little bit bigger than you think you probably need.
Kind of like when you buy a tent.
Yeah, very much like
not
that.
An 8-man tent.
You know, and I have the similar, I shared with you that I inherited one from my father. And when he passed in, you're all right. There's a lot of slots in there for guns, but they bang together.
Right.
Like that. I'm not going to mar them up in the safe because you got to reach, take six out to get to the seventh one, that kind of thing.
Yeah, especially right. If you've got like a $1,000 Trijicon on your deer rifle.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, okay, so first of all is what are you going to put in it, right? Is that's the first question. What's next?
Right, that's a good start. The other thing is to try and to determine a proper security level. You know, if you've got a handful of old hunting rifles that aren't really worth anything, you still should have those secured, but it doesn't make sense to spend $5,000 to secure them. On the other hand, if you've got, you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of firearms and, you know, and nice Trijicon scopes, like you mentioned, it doesn't make any sense to try and store that in a $500, you know, Chinese tin can.
Right.
You want something with good heavy steel, good fire resistance. So it's just a balancing act. You kind of have to weigh the value of the contents you're putting in there against what you're willing to pay for the safe and find that balance.
You just hit on something. Are you telling me that some of these safes you see in the big box stores are actually imports?
Yeah, almost all of them are imports in the big box stores.
No kidding.
Yep.
So if we're it's what I'm going to store in there. Are there different ratings on the safes of how long they'll protect your goods against fire or water? Or I'm just thinking, if my house catches on fire, right? That safe is protecting things. How does it protect them?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, with gun safes, they're not tested by any standard organization anymore.
Okay.
So with fire ratings, they all have a stated fire rating, but that's the manufacturer's. It's really up to the integrity of the manufacturer to do the testing properly. Many of them don't. Many of those gun safes have never been tested.
Now you're talking about bringing a bunch of imports in. It's not even what the standards in your country are. It's like, who knows where they are. They're knockoffs, and you really have zero insurance on that.
Right. Yeah. Again, it just kind of falls to the integrity of the company that built it. And unfortunately, a lot of those companies are kind of fly by night, constantly being purchased, repurchased, sold, going out of business. There's just not any integrity to back those numbers up in most cases.
Okay. So if I come into to Hoogerhide Safe, I'm assuming you're not carrying that junk, first of all. And then second of all, what is a good period of time for me to have in my mind on that I want that protection from the fire and the water?
Yeah, in most cases, modern homes with you know, drywall construction with studs every 16 inches, they don't get terribly hot. They'll burn they also don't burn for hours. Usually about 60 minutes of fire resistance is enough for a modern type home. Like what Bob alluded to earlier, you want to pay attention to the fire gaskets. Most of the companies now are using Paliasol or something similar to Paliasol, which is an expanding fire seal. That's great, except that in the beginning stages of a fire, the air is very caustic. It's full of smoke and soot. And a lot of that soot will ruin items before the fire gets hot enough to expand those fire seals. So you want something that has the Paliasol, but also some kind of a smoke seal to keep out.
Would that be like a silicone or something like that?
Yeah, there's different types of high temp silicone gaskets mm-hmm. that some companies use, and it's a good thing to have those on there.
So I open the door. That gasket, is it on the cabinet or is it on the door side generally?
It can be done either way.
Or both. I've seen, yeah.
Yeah, or both okay. in a lot of cases.
All right. So then, again, that's 60 minutes. And what about where I put this? Where is the right place to put a safe? I mean, it's a big item, but I gravitate to my lower level, my basement, and I got it in a corner, and it's kind of hidden a little bit because if I do get a burglar, I don't want it to be right front and center, and they know it's there.
But if you sell the house, sell the safe.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. That was a SOB when I took it from my dad's place.
I kind of remember moving
right, yeah, right. They're no fun to move, but we'll talk about that in the next segment too. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, in most cases, like you said, a lot of guys put those in the basement. In the event of a fire, the basement is usually going to stay cooler longer. That's going to give you a better opportunity for that fire resistance to do its job. There can be water issues in some basements, and that's something to think about. None of those gun safes, regardless of what manufacturers say, none of them are waterproof. None of them are going to hold outstanding water. So
if your basement floods, you're SOL.
Right. If your basement floods, that water is going to find its way in. So the best thing you can do is, if you think that could be a problem, is to elevate that safe, get it up off that concrete, so that you don't have a flood doesn't immediately start.
So you could build like a concrete block stoop or something to set it on. It'd have to be something incredibly strong.
Yep, that can work pretty well.
Mm. Matt, you got time to stick around?
Sure.
This conversation's fascinating to me. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going to talk more about safes. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. Hey, we're talking with Matt from Hoogerhide Safe. Fascinating conversation, something that I've not really, I inherited one, as maybe you heard in the last segment, but I've never purchased one. But I think it's important that you understand what it is that you're looking for when you, when you do this.
And that's kind of, I guess, when I saw him again recently at this home show, it was great to see him and catch up. But more importantly, looking at the products that Hoogerhide brought to the home show, it's like, wow, it's enormous. They have a giant selection, and one of the brands that I really love is your Fort Knox.
Oh yeah, very good stuff.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah.
So let's talk about what makes one better than the other, because you don't carry just one brand, right? You carry several. What are they? What are the brands? I mean,
yeah. Again, Fort Knox is kind of our flagship brand. Very high quality across the board. It's all American made.
There you go.
Made with real pride, you know, good welding. They pay a lot of attention to the details. They do tend to be a higher end product. They're not all crazy expensive, but you're not going to get one for $1,000 or anything like that either.
You get what you pay for.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Browning is another one that we sell a lot of. They have, Browning's got a wider line of safes. Their entry level safes are going to start at a much lower price point. American Security is a good company. We sell a lot of their stuff. We also recently brought on some Liberty safes, not so much for their higher end safes, but basically because Liberty makes some
entry level
stuff that's not Chinese.
And they advertise a lot too, so the name recognition's there.
That's right. Yeah. They're definitely the most widely known company in the business.
More so than Fort Knox.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
So let's get back to you. We talked about size. Size matters always. Grills, safes.
Right.
We'll stop alone there. But anyway, what are some of the other things that I need to know? Because I've got a buddy that has one. When you open the door, there's place for all his pistols on the door. There's like a racking in the door, which is I don't have. Mine's just a flat door when I open it. Mm-hmm. But what kind of features can you look for in a safe?
Yeah, there's different companies do that different ways. You kind of have to keep in mind anything that you can put, you know, if you can put guns on the door, that's great, but that's going to push into the interior of the safe. There's really no such thing as free, unused space in the safe. When the door's closed, everything gets kind of sandwiched together.
Right.
But yeah, there's, you know, pistol racks on the doors can be a really useful thing if you've got a lot of handguns to secure.
Right. So what about documents? This one I have, again, my only reference is the one I got in my basement. There's a little stack, and it takes up way too much room, but it's a stack of shelves that takes up about a third of the interior space. And it's big enough to put an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper in there, the 8.5 wide, right? And you slide them back to the back. And so I keep tax returns in there and marriage license and passports and things like that. Is that typical? Do most safes have a spot like that?
Yeah, that is pretty typical. In most cases, if you're going to make the investment to bring in a good, secure safe into your home, there's more than just firearms that should go in there. It's a great place to keep all your documents organized. Any kind of heirloom, you know, smaller heirloom items that you just can't fathom having them. Yeah, jewelry, yeah, that sort of stuff. It's a good place to just keep all that stuff secured, organized.
Right.
Yeah, I particularly was drawn to the safe doors that you sell from Fort Knox.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you have a concrete room in your house and you want to build, like, a nice fireproof safe zone for somebody, are you better off to do the digital entry? No matter what, if it's the door, the whole safe, people probably are going to digital largely, but I'm old school, and I just kind of think that dial might still have a certain value to it.
Oh yeah, the mechanical dial lock, been around forever. There's real value to that still, because the failure rate is extremely low. The only problem with them is just the dialing sequence. A lot of people have trouble. It's not the easiest thing to dial open. So for that reason, a lot of people have gone to electronics now. There are some really good electronic locks out there. There are some really, really bad ones. And like Job said earlier, you always get what you pay for. If you are going to go the electronic route, it really does pay to spend a few bucks more and get a good one.
So if it's electronic, it's got to have some sort of energy source. And are they battery always? Do they plug in? What's that look like?
No, all of the UL rated, at least, safe locks use batteries.
Okay. So if I, you know, so many things in my life that uses a battery, when the battery goes dead, you replace it. Sometimes you got to reset something when it loses power and then it gains power back. How's that work?
Yeah, that can be a real issue on a lot of those cheaper Chinese imports. They will lose memory if the battery goes bad, especially if that battery explodes in there.
Might be what I have going on.
Right? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, because Bob forgot a show plan today, so maybe his battery went bad and something exploded in his head. I don't know.
Doggone Chinese memory.
Yeah. Now, the better electronic locks, though, especially the stuff that's been rated and tested by underwriters' laboratories, they use a different type of memory, so dead batteries won't cause a loss of memory. But, yeah. But you can get into a spot where you need to get in there now. If you don't have a battery on hand, you're locked out until you get one.
Right.
That is, with a lot of things we own, it's a frustrating thing, and you'll end up on an 800 number sooner or later just trying to get some guy to walk you through it.
So that this a fabulous segue, Bob. The service, okay, well, again, I'll refer back to mine. I got it from my dad's house when he passed away, and it was a bear to move. And I had no idea what I was doing. As it turns out, the doors come off for moving purposes. It cuts the weight in half. And then that's when we put it in the basement at my house. But at the when we were moving it out, we weren't smart enough to take the door off. Didn't even think about it. And it was like killing me. Do you guys provide the services for putting them in? And if somebody in my situation, would you come and help us take it out and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yes to all those answers. We have excellent equipment for moving the things. Our guys, we've got a lot of experience. We deliver probably 95% of the safes that we sell, just because that's a big part of what people need. But yeah, if you're moving locations and you want to take that safe with you, we can move those for you too.
Wow, cool. And that's just I can't
from
overstate.
Experience.
I can't overstate the importance of that.
I see you're right. Planning a move already.
Right? Yeah. No. I'm not right now. But if I ever did, man, I'm picking up the phone.
I'll help. Yeah. I'll keep his number for you because I don't want the call to come out.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't call you. I'd call your boys.
Yeah. Bring your trailer too.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We have followed up on some pretty interesting cases over the years where a guy gets his buddies over in a case of beer to get that safe moved.
Yeah.
It gets pretty comical.
Yeah, the beer's gone, but the safe's still in the basement. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And somebody smashed at the bottom of the steps.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's the guy on the top going, "You okay down there?" Yeah, gravity is not your friend when you're moving those things upstairs. Yeah.
So one of the things I see a lot of is tricky little lock boxes to store pistols in around your living quarters, not down in a big safe, but something close for self-defense.
Yeah, that's gotten to be a big thing lately, especially with these new safe security, safe storage laws that Michigan's imposed lately. Been a lot more attention to quick access.
So do you have those?
We do. Yep.
Okay. So describe that, because that might be more for everybody. I mean, if you got one or two guns, if you're thinking about robbing me, there are two beside my bed, one on my wife's side and one on mine. But one of them is in a safe and the other one isn't, because I only have one of those touch safes.
But his wife will be the one that shoots you.
You're right.
Because he sleeps really hard.
I really debated whether to put that second one over there, because if I piss her off, she's got access.
Yeah, somebody broke in.
Yeah.
They grabbed my pistol. Yeah. Well, I know that you can do like a handprint or thumbprint to open some of those.
Yeah. There's a lot of those different kinds of boxes out there that, with little electronic push buttons, fingerprint readers and stuff. Over the years, we've tried selling a few different kinds and never had great luck with them. What we've really settled on is there's a mechanical push button lock called a Simplex. And there's a lot of different configurations of quick access handgun boxes that use that simplex lock.
I was looking at that one you had on display.
So it's a number sequence you put in or something?
Yep. It's a completely mechanical push button lock. So it's just as fast as anything electronic.
And
just
and
a lot more
laid
reliable.
Out in a way that you can put your hand on it in the dark and feel your way through it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Matt, we got one more segment, brother, and we're going to ask you to sit by because I'm not done asking questions. Your list of Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I did not think I'd talk an hour about safes, but I'm still not done, baby.
I feel redeemed.
Yes. I appreciate you coming in, Matt. Tell everybody where your store is, because it's just not yesterday that you've been there, right? It's been around a while.
No, you're right. We've been a fixture in the west side of Grand Rapids for almost 100 years now.
Wow.
We're on West Leonard in the Leonard Business District.
Right.
And you don't sell pierogies or beer. That's really a record right there.
Now, you said that the Hoogerheids founded the business, but your father owned it for a while. Now you and your brother do.
Yep, that's right. My brother and I bought my dad out about 5 years ago. He was ready to retire. So we picked it up and kind of taken it our own direction.
And nice. What's that growth looked like in terms of the store and size and displays and all that?
Yeah, it's the store has not really changed. It's just, and really the philosophy behind it hasn't changed too much either. We just try really hard to keep good products in, try to treat everyone right.
Well, depending on where you're listening from, the little thing about Grand Rapids, if you're on the west side, they say it's the best side. And I think Scott would agree with that.
Speaking of treating everybody right, so Matt is a man after our heart. He's a safe and lock guy, right? But apparently he's an Irish beer guy, too, because I'm having an odd side Paddy's Red in my hand. And Bobcat, I'm sitting in one side of the studio, Bob and Matt are on the other side, and all of a sudden they go, hey, I got a bag of beer here. I'm like, well, where has this been the first three segments?
Well, the point I was trying to make is the west side is it's a tight community.
Oh, yeah.
In Grand Rapids, very Polish, Polish-Dutch mix, but, I mean, if you're Polish, you're probably from the west side, and that is a tight-knit community, as witnessed by Sobe Meats, a longtime sponsor. But I'll tell you, if you do a good job for people in a community like that, they're loyal to the tea.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely.
And the west side is the epitome of that.
Yep. So it's just not you and your brother. You guys got a pretty good-sized shop, and you got a fleet of trucks, and your guys are out delivering. And do you do moving services, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do a lot of moving services. Even a lot of the good movers in town that will move your whole house for you, they'll usually hire us to do the safe part. If it's a heavy safe.
Yeah,
it's a different techniques, different equipment involved.
So let's say you inherit a safe, but you can't get into it.
Oh, yeah, we can take care of that for you, too.
Really?
Yep, got excellent safe technicians. Best safe company in the state if you need something opened.
That's big.
So Bob, thank you. My wife's parents both passed away, and we've got a little safe that's maybe like 2 foot by 2 foot and 2 foot tall. And it's just a big gray iron
Probably full of gold.
No. The door's open. There's nothing in it. Okay. But we have no idea what the combination is. And I was going to take it to the dump, but I couldn't lift it. So there it sits in my garage, right? And it's like,
but
I didn't even think about
that. That'd be a shame to recycle something that good.
And, so
you could come out and you could send somebody out and they could, either reprogram it or...
I mean, it's a dial one, so I don't know how that works. Or maybe you got, you know, the stethoscope like I saw on TV when I was a kid, and you can break the safe with, you hear the tumblers click.
Oh, yeah, we got all the stethoscopes and all the cool equipment. None of that's really necessary if the door's open, though. That's a good start. If the door's open, it's a fairly simple process.
That inside panel comes off and you can see the...
Yeah.
Working.
Okay. Right. Great. Or if you don't want to pay us to come out there, you can bring us the door. Even if the door comes off the safe, that's all we need to reset that lock.
I'm gonna darken your door with that because I guess that wouldn't be a bad idea to have a second safe, but we've not used it because it's smaller. It's like a little filing cabinet kind of thing.
You could even use it as bait.
Right. bait. Yeah. But anyway, maybe I just keep my thermopens in there because they're a valuable part of my grilling repertoire. I don't know. But anyway, that's...
One beer in and he's getting silly.
I'm a half a beer in, but it's Paddy's Red, so it's Irish.
Pretty
it's
good. Here, cheers
Saint
to Paddy's odd
Day.
Sides.
St. Paddy's Day is tomorrow, too, man. We didn't even cover that. Are you going to do corned beef and cabbage?
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's Sunday. You bet it is.
Goodness
I know.
Sakes.
Jeez, we missed that. Okay, well, we'll do the post St. Paddy's Day show next week and talk about what we had.
Holy cow, it is.
So, 17th. So Matt, we would be remiss if we didn't touch on a little bit of grilling. Are you a griller? Do you enjoy it? And what do you like to make?
Yeah, I love grilling venison. For me, it's all about venison.
All right.
My son and I are big deer hunters. We always got a freezer full of it.
Nice.
Yeah, and always some
What's
ideas.
Your favorite piece to grill?
Pretty boring. I love the back straps. I like doing backstrap tenderloins.
That's never boring.
Probably be my favorite cut.
So how do you do them so they don't dry out?
Nothing too fancy. One thing I have used more in the last couple of years is a sous vide. I'll take them right out of the freezer, throw them in the sous vide.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's great.
Yep. For those of you that don't know what that is, that's cooking with water. Heating things up to a certain temperature.
In a bag.
In like a vac sealed bag.
So you sous vide it and then grill it?
Yeah, that's right. I'll usually bring it up to like 125.
Okay, so the food grade bags you're using to sous vide, what do you put in there with your meat when you're sous vide in it? Because that's a great time to marinate.
It is a good time to marinate. I don't do much marinating. I pretty much just do the meat by itself.
You season it before you put it in?
Nope.
Just season it when he puts it on the grill. So you're cooking it to temperature, the 125, which is your medium rare, mm-hmm. which is where you want your tenderloin anyway, because it's not a fatty piece, very, very lean.
Right.
And then it'll dry out if you overcook it. So then when you take it out of the bag, it's already at temperature. You're putting it on the grill to, what, just give it a little color?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Hit it with some salt, pepper, a little garlic, and then, just a couple minutes on each side.
Right.
So where do you deer hunt?
I've got a few places. Farm that we lease over near Lakeview.
Great spot.
Yeah. And then my brother and I, we've got a place on the Pine River up near Luther.
Wonderful.
And we really enjoy.
Oh, man, nothing better than a family place like that to go and hang out. And now your kids go up there with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Creating traditions,
I'm
man.
A Reed City boy, so we grew up canoeing that river.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fun spot.
Great canoeing.
One of the best kept secrets in Michigan, really. The Pine is fast.
Yeah. So can people find you online to check out the store, or do they need to stop by? What's the best way to get that?
Yeah, we do have a website. It's mostly informative. It doesn't have a lot of products listed on the website. But, yeah, you can get a pretty good idea from there, the right questions to ask and stuff. But the best way to do it is definitely to come into the store where you can actually put your hands on stuff.
So I'm curious, are you noticing an uptick in the door only with people building houses with safe rooms and stuff like that?
Yeah, those vault doors go hand in hand with high-end home construction, and we've seen a real uptick in that over the last few years. In fact, I've got one to deliver and install once we're done with the show here today.
Yeah, cool. So just for reference purposes, we've talked in the first segment about you get what you pay for.
Right.
So if I'm walking into the store and I want a good safe, I don't want the cheap China junk, I want a good safe. What budget should I have in mind? I realize it's a range. It's not a number, but what's that range that I should have?
Yeah, depending on the size of safe you need and the level of security you want, probably you want to you want to plan on spending somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000.
Okay.
For in most cases, for a good high security gun safe.
But I would say that that's a lifetime investment. You're not going to have to replace that. It doesn't break down. It doesn't fail.
Well, and here's the cool part. I mean, we've all seen a number of our relatives die.
Right.
And there's always the will. There's birth certificates. There's
insurance policies.
Yeah, all that stuff that, I mean, even that little safe in your garage would be good for stuff like that.
That's exactly right.
But I mean, if you are a gun enthusiast, which a lot of our listeners are, I mean, grilling goes hand in hand with venison and beer. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Protect your beer. Shoot some deer.
Open the safe and there's a bunch of beer in it. It's not a bad idea.
Well, you know, I've had some good beer that I'd like not my vultures to come and drink. So maybe
I think
that's what
there's
I need
some,
to do with
there's
it.
Some bourbon collections out there that might need to go
in a exactly.
safe.
Yeah.
So the vault doors are, so when people are doing safe rooms in these high-end houses, is it largely a handprint, a reader?
No, the handprint reader locks, they do exist. They're not to the point yet, technology-wise, where I would rely on
them. So it's just in the movies?
Yeah, right. But no, like the same kind of locks we talked about before, you know, a good mechanical dial lock or a good electronic push-button lock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what's typically going on those vault doors.
Cool.
That is a very appealing piece of real estate in your house, I think, to have something like that.
So, Matt, tell us where people can find you again, please.
Sure. Online, it's HoogerHideSafe.com.
Right.
Or stop into the shop anytime. We're at 1033 West Leonard Street.
All right.
And Mr. Producer, I think you can just title this show The Hooger Hide Show.
That's right, man. And it's awesome, though. I've been wanting this. I've followed you guys. You've been loyal sponsors of Michigan Out of Doors forever.
That's right.
Okay, and that's one of my favorite shows. So hats off to you supporting that. It's a Michigan thing.
Yeah.
But you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out in your backyard. Fire up a grill. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.